no crying in baseball!
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years.
I said, fuck you, Joe. I do it myself.
In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million. But what I'm trying to say is that if I can change, then you can change. Everybody can change.
Welcome to Montucky Skies, episode CCIV. Add that shit up. What you get? I'm Biggs.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Anna Kendrick.
You're Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, my movie just made like $66 million at the box office, so check yourself, man.
I take it we're not talking about the upcoming box office battle, Rapture Palooza?
Not yet, but soon. I just remembered Brandon was doing that, and I've seen that movie. I'm so excited. Anna Kendrick, if you're listening to this, don't change. You're like the best, and the world is better with you in it.
Yeah, we always need at least one actress who looks like she's sucking on a lemon at all times.
Well, after Renee Zellweger got plastic surgery, a void opened up.
Yeah, that void was her giant asshole-looking lips.
So I almost went to Anna Kendrick's new movie today.
What was Anna Kendrick's new movie? Is that Pitch Perfect 2?
Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah.
Pitchier. Is
that what it's called?
Pitchier? No, I just made that up.
Legend of Curly's Gold.
Electric Boogaloo.
The pitches are back, I think is the tagline for the movie.
Really?
Akka, fuck yourself.
Akka, excuse me?
Oh, shit. Well, I'm kind of bummed out because somebody answered our ad for the Not Safe for Network intern. And so I got a whole slideshow presentation ready, but he didn't show. So I don't know if he's just late the first day or if he misunderstood the date or something. So, Carl, we're still waiting for you.
Can I put out a message to Carl real quick?
Yeah, but keep in mind he hasn't put up the $300 deposit yet.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. So first of all,
and by deposit I mean application fee. There's no deposit.
Yeah, Carl, you don't get your money back.
No. Carl, you got to sign that check, homie. Secondly, I know it's intimidating when you see my jawline and my ripped abs and my rugged personality, and I know it can be intimidating to be near a masculine American action hero like myself. But I want you to know, you don't have to be threatened by me. I care about you and your best interest. And if you come with us, you will have the best time of your life. And I know it doesn't seem like it because I'm a chiseled Adonis right out of the mold of Matthew McConaughey.
We do call you the golden boy for a reason.
That's right. But you don't have to be scared because I'm the greatest wingman who ever did live. So Carl, don't be chicken. Get here, buddy.
So I know that Carl does listen to the podcast because he got a hold of me on Facebook like via Messenger right after he listened to the episode. So if you're listening to this, Carl, this slideshow is for you.
Welcome to the Not Safe for Network team. Before you begin your internship, there's just a few simple pointers we need to share with you. Mr. Beardsley will only be addressed as such. When Biggs tells a joke, look him square in the eyes and laugh. Only belly laughs are appropriate. Never look talent in the eye. Never, never tell Zach no. You will always wear white gloves to assure the cleanliness of our beer can and pizza crust collection. When serving beers, always grasp the bottle by the base and hand to the talent. Gripping by the neck of the bottle could result in missing fingers. When pouring whiskey for the talent, you must use a gold-rimmed tumbler and deposit 4 conical ice cubes into the drink with platinum tongs. You will be expected to provide the whiskey, tumbler, ice cubes, and tongs to your workplace. When talent is drinking whiskey, you must adhere to one simple rule. You act like a bitch, you get smacked like a bitch. Henceforth, your Twitter handle will be changed to Ragu Oldie Lover. Guess what's for dinner? Have a life jacket ready at all times, and by life jacket, we mean an 8-ball of Coke. When sick, you must report to your workstation wearing a surgical mask. You must bring a doctor's note prescribing narcotics, which you will then turn over to Talon to apologize for bringing germs into the studio. If narcotics are not prescribed, the flight of steps will be provided for you to throw yourself down. Turning the other cheek is necessary in any circumstance that does not involve Talon sending you out to destroy someone's life. Anytime the dog chews through wires, you will invent a threat to the dog's safety to shout at her. This will never be acted on, but the dog must believe it. Follow these simple rules and you will fit right in with the Not Safe for Network team.
So there we go.
Carl,
let me turn the lights back up. Okay.
Carl, before we do this, I need you to look at your smartphone and or iPod and or computer. Now, somewhere on the screen, there should be a back 10 seconds button. I need you to hit that 4 or 5 times and listen to this again just to make sure everything is clear.
Is this the one about Zach?
That's right. I know it's easy to snooze by like the fourth note. Don't fuck with me.
I'm surprised you haven't called yourself the golden boy once during that.
I mean, it's a little narcissistic to refer to myself that way.
As soon as the mics turn off, dude, right back to golden boy wants this.
This is a true fact. At the end of every episode we record, I climb to the roof and shout, I am a golden god to the nothingness, the vast nothingness before me.
It's a pop culture reference, and he believes it's true.
Yeah,
and I believe that it's true, too, because why not? I'm a golden god, too.
And I guess what I'm trying to say is bring a ladder. It's really fucking hard to climb based on my own upper body strength.
Okay, we should just kick into a review here, because we went way off into pop culture. Although, hold on, I want to say with the Not Safe for Network for just a second. I just started listening to We Had a Good Life. They posted an episode like 2 hours before we started recording. That's right. This.
It just popped up in my feed.
Yeah, and I started to listen to it at work, but I mean, it was work, so I had to keep pausing it so I didn't get all the way through it. But they were bringing up shooting the show, and... they're really challenging Connor and Eric a lot. Like, I can't believe they haven't come up with an episode. That's 2 episodes in a row that We Had a Good Life and just been answering like charges from shooting the show and no response at all.
Hey, school's out. Your film's in the can. Let's get it together.
That's yeah, right. That's no excuses. That's kind
of the thing. Like, didn't they get both of those things done? What's going on? Like, is your brother okay?
He is. He texted me the other day. He wants me to try to book him a show at Jester's. And I was like, it's not hard to book a show at Jester's, so I can take care of that.
Oh, shit. I'll get a hold of him on Facebook. I can actually possibly make that happen. He's not going to like the answer, though, because it goes through Dub. Because Dub plays at Jester's all the time. That's kind of the road he's got to hoe.
See, I was just going to go in tomorrow afternoon and get day drunk and then sell him on it. That was the game plan.
I'm telling Connor, I will get a hold of you, but I'm telling you the road is through Dub. I mean, honest to God, I'm not even joking on this one. So
I'm guessing you're going to need to get a show in the can before.
Yeah, that might be a requirement. You might have to say some awfully nice things about the We Had a Good Life podcast.
Listen, here's the tip to get through to Dub. If you want Dub to respect you, tell him he has an above average cock. Because, see, here's the thing. If you tell him he has a big cock, he'll know you're exaggerating to get on his good side, and he doesn't like ass kickers. And obviously, you don't want to tell him he has a small cock. But above average, he's into that shit.
And surprisingly enough, with all the drunken nights I've had with Dub and have him been my roommate for a while, I actually don't know the size of Dub's cock. It's never even come up in conversation.
So wait, are you telling me when you get drunk with a male friend for the first time, you don't whip out a ruler to see what he's packing?
No, but I can tell you that like I have known some of my roommates size of cocks. Brandon can back me up on this. You can't hang out with Greg for, I'd say, like 3 hours without seeing.
I would say 45 minutes tops.
Yeah, he had a thing called the 3-ball trick that he used to do, and I'll just leave it at that. But he showed it to everybody.
Better that than giving the goat.
What's the goat?
The goat's when you put your scrot between your legs and show it from behind and like flap it, all the scrotum skin out. That's the goat.
I had a friend named Micah who always does the mangina. And he calls it a mangina. was great. We had one night. We had one night we were down drinking at Miller's Crossing, and we left, and it was like a warm summer night, and I remember like the walk-in mall was just flooded with drunk people. And we ran into this girl that we knew, and somehow Micah talked her into, like, he was like talking about she's wearing sexy fishnet stockings and she should let him wear them. And so he's like, he put them on, and there's a cop like trying to argue with somebody, and he ran up to the cop and he goes, "Help her, help her, she needs help." Like, wearing the fishnet stockings.
Man, I wish I'd been
there. Micah's a listener to the show too. I think I might have alienated like four of my friends in like 4 minutes.
Micah, if you're hearing this, please come to Miller's more often, because it's a real bummer and that sounds hilarious.
Yeah, I think he lives in Montana City or Boulder.
Okay, like, hang on then, Micah.
He lives a little ways away.
Micah, if you're in Montana City, I have a $20 gift certificate to the Montana City Grill. You and me will get some steak, and then we'll go to Miller's and shit's gonna get weird.
Oh, another great story with Micah. This doesn't involve Micah, but not directly. So when he got married, him and his lady Anika, like, they were in Vashon Island, which is by Seattle. And so Greg and my friend Drew came up to visit me. And so we go, and they like rented out a teepee for us to stay in on Vashon Island, right? So we go drinking like all night long, and I wake up and like my shirt has like black scorch marks all over it. So apparently what happened was my friend Drew, like, he was fucking with me and like throwing, like, I passed out drunk, like just fucking passed out, and he started throwing like lit matches on me joke. And I wasn't putting it out, and suddenly my shirt like caught up, and they, like, when they realized I wasn't gonna put it over, like, or put it out, they ran over and put it out on me. That guy Drew is doing that. He rebuilds engines for Cessnas.
I mean, listen, we all have to get our stresses out somehow, and it's better that he throws the matches at you than at the Cessnas.
Yeah, but I wanna restate this one more time. He rebuilds Cessna engines. Like, if you're ever in a plane that's a Cessna, there's a good chance.
Think twice.
There's a good chance that he operated on it.
All I'm saying is, if you're in a Cessna right now, okay, if you're up in the sky, this isn't going to help you at all. But if you are on the, if you're on the land, maybe take a second look at that engine. Like, just grab a wrench and tighten some shit just in case.
Okay, so speaking of everything going wrong, you saw an apocalyptic movie tonight, right?
Speaking of just grabbing a wrench and making shit go together, I saw Mad Max Fury Road.
I've never been more jealous in my life.
It was such a wonderful, wonderful time. It was everything I wanted in a movie. And I was first, my wife and kids wanted to go see Pitch Perfect 2, which, it's something I'll watch probably on.
If you're going to talk shit about Pitch Perfect, we're going to have
He didn't talk shit. He did say, maybe I'll watch.
That's a forewarning.
He wasn't being negative.
I know. That's
I think he was stating that it wasn't his preferred choice.
That's what the warning's for.
The golden boy does not abide.
And, it's probably something I will watch. And I know my kids and wife really liked the first one, so I'm sure it'll come across our TV at some point.
The Green Bay Packers are in it, so that'll bum all of us out together. We can all have that in common, that we don't like seeing the Green Bay Packers
be
happy. The
Green Bay Packers are in it?
Yeah, and I don't like seeing them happy, so that's a real problem for me.
Like the whole team?
A lot of them. Like a handful, maybe? I don't know. I know Clay Matthews is in it because he's in the trailer.
Is he on the Packers anymore?
Yeah, I mean, he was when they filmed it, and that's close enough.
Okay. Oh, no. It was it was A.J. Hawk I was thinking of. He's not with the Packers
No,
anymore.
I think in your... What's his name?
A.J. Hawk is such
the one guy that went to the Miami, their receiver.
Yeah, that guy. GB receiver. GD... WR receiver.
All I know is A.J. Hawk has wasted one of the best sports names of all time. That's an amazing athlete name, and he did not live up to its potential. I remember I thought the Pats would pick him in the draft. It was a whole thing. All I know is if your name is AJ Hawk, you better be fucking really good, because that is the name of an all-star.
I like him on podcasts. I don't like him when he's hitting fucking Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Yeah, I don't like that.
All right, Brandon, back to you.
All right. And I won't spoil any of this movie for you.
Honestly, I can't imagine spoilers hurting this.
There's a lot more to this movie than you really like think.
Okay.
Like, there was moments where I had a big tub of popcorn, and I had both hands on the bucket, like chewing on the edge, like the bucket, like shit was intense.
What were you on that made you chew a bucket of popcorn, dude?
Dude, this movie drives you to that point.
I'm going to need you to talk slower and softer and just get real deep in here.
But no, that's not happening.
Are you sure? You can't speak slower and softer. What if I set the mood?
Yeah, right. Get there.
I really wanted to read some Twitter quotes about this movie that I found.
Social media up in here.
Patton Oswalt: if you can't wait to see Mad Max Fury Road, just snort 10 cubic feet of meth and jump into a gasoline fire.
Fuck yeah.
Josh Ethier: I wish the screening of Fury Road that I went to was preceded solely by trailers of Fury Road.
Fuck yeah.
Doctors warn that if you maintain an erection for longer than 4 hours, you should stop watching Fury Road.
Fuck yeah.
And Samuel Jackson: okay, y'all, Fury Road is the most motherfucker of a movie. You gotta see it.
Okay, time out. I'm shocked that his tweet didn't say, I'm so motherfucking angry that I wasn't in this bitch.
I'm surprised I didn't say, like, yes, he's dead and he deserved to die.
A couple more. I think it's easier to be a Cosby apologist than someone who didn't like Fury Road.
That's for real, probably a little tasteless. Cosby.
Last but not least, Spencer Hall: I wrote a review of Mad Max in all caps because that is the only choice.
Ah! He speaks right to my soul.
Was it like that? Is that what you picture with the yacht?
This well, movie that's is... high praise. I got indeed. Some testosterone back from watching this movie.
Be honest with us. You grew 3 inches watching this movie.
His hair just fell out all at once as his testosterone just coursed through his body. His testicles shrank and his hair fell out.
But I could bench press a Buick right now.
Did anybody see the last episode of Mad Men?
No, not yet.
I haven't either. Good. Okay, so we'll just prime it for next episode. We will be talking about the finale of Mad Men. Brandon, yes. I'm sorry. Bring some snacks. You can have snack while we talk about
it. Brandon, I will roll you a joint, and that'll kill enough time.
Okay, so what else do we got?
So I only watched one thing this week.
Okay.
And I watched The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford for approximately the 1,000th time. That might be my favorite movie of all time. Have you guys seen this masterpiece?
I still haven't seen it, okay. But I've heard you talk about it so much.
Before, I love this movie so goddamn much, I don't even know how to express myself. The words haven't been invented yet. Before I go, I'm sitting you two down to watch this with me, and things are gonna get weird between us.
I will make you an absolute deal if you'll take it. I will sit down and watch any movie you want with you.
Okay.
Including that one. If you will sit down and watch Scarface with me, because I just like to have friends sit down and watch Scarface with me.
I feel like I came out on the winning end of this deal because I want to watch both Scarface and Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. I want to see it too,
so we can both be winners.
This worked out great. Seriously, though, if I... Roger Deakins... There's this fucking train robbery sequence in this movie. And it, honest to God, might be the greatest thing Roger Deakins has ever shot in his life. Like, the visual of all the James gang in the white coats with the white masks and the holes cut out, that'll never leave your mind. It's poetry in visuals. It's so beautifully shot. It's like the greatest Western of all time with the greatest performances of all time packed into it. And the fact that this movie is so wildly underseen literally offends me. I am more offended by the fact that this movie is so underseen than I am by the fact that ISIS exists. So take that for what it's worth.
Well, we are nerds. I mean, ISIS only gets so far.
That's right.
But you haven't seen like Scorsese's catalog, like any of it. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Once you've cut off six heads, it's boring, okay, ISIS? We're not impressed anymore.
I mean, sure, cutting off a head, that sounds brutal. Have you ever put a pencil in somebody's face? Like, seriously. You need to learn a little bit of Pesciism. Anyway.
Shout out to you, Ray Liotta.
Yeah. Oh God! Okay, I wanted to backtrack on something you said. So is this fair enough to say that this movie is your favorite Western of all time?
Oh yeah, not close.
What is your favorite Western of all time, Brandon?
Ooh. If you don't say High Noon, I'm gonna punch you right in the dick.
Because I wasn't gonna say High Noon.
I was actually gonna go with Outlaw Josie Wales.
Okay, I forgive that's, you. That's I'm not gonna good. Punch you in the dick.
That's like the hippies Western, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Because it's all about, like, just joining up with everybody and getting along.
Here's the funniest thing about that. The most... Okay, I have a pair of friends. They're twins. They are so conservative that they think Rush Limbaugh isn't conservative enough.
Yeah.
The Outlaw Josie Wales is, like, their favorite Western, and I do not understand it.
Because Clint Eastwood is all, like, he's an American icon, but he's also, like, a Republican. So Republicans are really for him. But he's, like, a middle. He's a, like, if you ever listen to his politics, he is, like, he's a pretty left of center Republican.
He is a social liberal and a fiscal conservative.
Yeah. I'd say he's a Republican in name and a few policies, but yeah. I mean, he doesn't fit a lot of their planks. Maybe that's why he blew up that Republican convention that one time by talking an empty chair.
Chair wasn't empty. The evil communist elves were really pissing him off.
But I gotta say, and that's a great one. I love that movie.
That's a really strong choice.
So does Kill Bill Volume 2 count as a Western? Because it's pretty Western-y. Kind of.
It is kind shot of. As if it's a Western. Like, it looks like a Western.
It's very spaghetti Western.
Yeah, but in terms of the actual story and the characters, it's not a Western. So I'd say that counts as half a Western.
Okay. Well, that would be number one if it counts.
Django counts as a Western, even though it's a
Django
Southern
movie. Django is high up there, too. Probably not my favorite if Kill Bill Volume 2 doesn't count.
Let's count it as a half a Western. Can you find one half of a Western?
Can I put those two together to make my favorite movie?
Fuck yeah, you can.
Fuck yeah.
I see a mashup.
My favorite movie is Django Bill.
So, have you guys ever seen High Noon?
Yes. It's a great movie. Absolutely great.
I feel like that movie does not get talked about enough. And
we talked about it on the Thin Men.
Well, we did, but yeah. We're not America at large. No. And the thing that bothers me is
everybody knows the reference. They just don't know it's from High Noon, like the big clocks everywhere.
Yeah.
Like that's something everybody knows.
And it doesn't get enough appreciation for the fact that when it came out. So for those who don't know, the story of High Noon takes place in real time. So, like, the entire time the movie's running, that is the time it takes the story to unfold. And it does not get enough appreciation for doing that way before anybody else was trying that, especially in Hollywood pictures. Like, the fact that they got away with it and made it interesting and pissed off conservatives while they were at it, like, that's a pretty perfect movie as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that Gary Cooper, a known conservative, was still willing to piss off conservatives because they were trying to fuck up his friends in the McCarthyism era... makes it even more poignant because it really is. You can view that movie as a metaphor for McCarthyism and the damage it caused.
Yeah.
There's so many deep levels to watch that movie. And there are so many people my age who will not watch it either because they don't like black and white movies or they don't like Westerns or they are just lazy.
There's people come up with every excuse under the sun not to watch older movies.
Watch High Noon.
I think as you get older, like if you like movies as you get older, you start to throw out those reasons. I mean, I could say with a lot of confidence that when we're in high school, very little black and white movies we were going to watch. There was a couple, but I mean,
there wasn't many that were.
Yeah, that, like Clerks.
Which is,
doesn't really count, yeah, for exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, but I mean, as I got older, you know, you start to add stuff. I remember the big one, the really big breakthrough movie to me that like made me want to watch older movies was The Godfather. And that's The Godfather Part 2 is my all-time favorite movie. I've gone off about it. But when I kept hearing The Godfather was the greatest movie of all time. And I remember my Uncle David going off about how he just sat in one place and watched both Godfather movies. There's only two at the time. On TV without like getting up, going to the bathroom, anything, like just watch them. Cause
well, now
so
I know
good
that your uncle's not a smoker.
Yeah, he is, but well, I think he was smoking in his house.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, like all this talk I'd heard, finally I was like, all right, I'm gonna sit down and actually watch this. And I watched it on TV and I was fucking riveted, and it was like 4.5 hours on TV, something like that, because all the commercials.
Yeah,
they put
that'd in, be a long watch.
Yeah, but it was worth it, and it made me want to watch other older movies. Like at first it spun out into like other older gangster movies, and then it just spun out into like I'll watch other older movies. So, you know, I play catch up all the time, like class, like I still haven't seen Casablanca. It's not that I don't want to see Casablanca, I just haven't gotten around to it, but eventually I'll watch it. My wife, there's been two occasions where I tried to get my wife to like sit down and watch it with me, and she wouldn't, though.
I so think she'll like it, especially because it's the most catchy dialogue of all the older movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it says something that out of the AFI, the American Film Institute, 100 greatest lines of dialogue, Casablanca has 6 of them.
But she doesn't like, she's not diametrically opposed to it. She just wasn't in the mood. Like, she sat down and watched On the Waterfront with me, for example.
Oh, my God. That fucking movie.
It's a great movie.
I love it
so much. Another McCarthyism movie on the exact opposite side of High Noon. The political message of that one doesn't stand up today. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
The McCarthyism thing, like, not so much.
It's a different time.
Sticking up for your beliefs definitely resonates.
And that's the same thing that resonates with High Noon. Like, the one man who's willing to stand up for what he believes, even though nobody else believes it with him.
Yeah. It's kind of, I always loved how Tony Soprano's hero was always Gary Cooper.
Me too.
But he was always referencing that one movie. Like, he wasn't referencing any other Gary Cooper movie.
He didn't give a shit about Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington.
No, it was always...
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, that's yeah. Right. You got your movies mixed up.
You know why? Because Mr. Deeds is the remake. So, what is the first black and white movie you guys watched and genuinely enjoyed, I should add?
Elephant Man. No. Yeah, yeah. Was Music Man in black and white first?
No.
When I saw it was in color, but I don't know if that means it was in black and white.
Yeah, I wasn't sure
first
if it was colorized later.
No, I think that was a Technicolor when it was came out in production.
Okay, then yeah, it was Elephant Man. But I mean, it wasn't super old. Do you mean like super old? Because when I saw Elephant Man.
No, just black and white.
When I saw Elephant Man, it was probably like 4 or 5 years
old. Because a lot of people, even if it's a new movie in black and white, they won't watch it. Like, the black and white aesthetic is so hard for people.
Oh, no. You know what? I got to go back further. It was probably The Wolfman.
That makes sense.
With Lon Chaney Jr.
Mine
like that
was, I saw Elephant Man and Schindler's List in the same week.
Oh,
so
nice.
I got both of them. So they're sort of tied. So,
and that's why you have those marks on your wrist.
That's right. Yeah.
That is a rough week. Either one of those movies makes me super depressed. Like, you put those two together,
things
just fucking
got,
make me like a heroin cocktail.
Things got real dark for a while there.
That is quite a 1-2 punch, man. Yeah, River's been like super depressed this week because they're reading all kinds of stuff on the Holocaust in school right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, and then, so my answer to that is apparently watching a fucking Nazi movie, Nazi grindhouse movie for box office battle. Didn't mean to.
See, the Holocaust is funny with context. It was
literally the one that made us laugh when we were flipping through, like, awful grindhouse movies, because I wanted to do a grindhouse
because
movie.
Because if people haven't figured it out by now, the way we make our decisions is by what makes us laugh the most. Yeah,
it's kind of true. Oh, so you can hear that review on Wednesday. It's going to be a hell of a show. Not as depressing as Elephant Man and Schindler's List. Depressing all the same.
Brandon, what black and white movie first got you hooked?
You know, it's really tough because I went on like a binge, and I'm pretty sure it was in college, of old Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Oh, nice.
So I'm not sure which came first out of all that, because I had watched Psycho several times.
Oh, and I love Psycho.
And so going back, I'm like, you know what? Psycho, I really wanted to watch a lot of his other catalog. So I mean, I went to the local movie store and just like grabbed a whole like stack of VHS tapes and went to town.
Psycho was one of the rare black and white movies I was into in high school. I'd seen all five Psycho movies, or four Psycho movies when I was a kid. So one of them was a Showtime movie, Psycho 4.
That counts.
I mean, the later three, there is a drop off in quality.
And it still continues to this day with Bates Motel.
But hold on. Oh, yeah. That is a shit show.
Oh, is this an excuse for me to shit talk Bates Motel for some more? I love shit talking shows I don't watch.
I finally got through to my wife that I won't watch it. But what worries me is she's not watching it either, which makes me think that eventually she's going to make me sit through like a bulk of season three.
Oh, God, you're going to have to binge watch that shit.
No,
oh.
It's bad enough watching.
We got about two or three episodes into season two, and we're like, I don't want to go back to this.
No, the first season was pretty good, and then it just gets fucking horrible.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah. Norman Bates is your monster. Fucking get the clue.
Norman Bates should not be an adorably awkward, like, rail-thin teenager. It just doesn't work.
No, it does work. Look, that kid, I know you don't like that actor.
No. Anytime
he looks like Anthony Perkins.
Anytime you throw out the word adorable when you're describing...
I hear what you're
that's
saying.
That's a problem.
I hear what you're
Anthony
saying.
Anthony Perkins was a pretty handsome man in Psycho.
Would you describe him as adorable? I wouldn't.
Well, not when he's socially dressed awkward. As his mother. The fucking butcher knife.
That show just went out so far off the rails, it's not even funny.
Oh, I find it pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, I don't, because like it worries me that Vera Farmiga was making good movies downside. And now she's like ensconced.
Can I start hashtag free Vera? We gotta
it's
get her
fault,
out.
Dude, she's like directing episodes.
We gotta
shit.
We gotta
she's
get
one
her
of the producers.
Contract. That's a
you
problem.
You think she wants out of it? I don't think she does. I think she's making money off
Vera,
of it.
Vera, listen. You can't take the money with you when you die. Your legacy will live on after. And listen, Vera, I tell you this because I love you and I think you're so talented and I want to see you in more great things. Please find a different outlet for your creativity, because this just is not working.
And it worries me that Norma Bates is the character that speaks to you. I'm just saying. Like, and let's look at who's played Vera Bates before. Like, Anthony Perkins. Like, that's the pedigree you're going off of. Of course you outstretched him.
Vera Farmiga, a better actress than Anthony Perkins.
Oh, shit. Can I go somewhere dark with this? Not funny at all.
My wife found Glee.
Oh, that is dark. Let's explore that. That's
okay.
That's
way that is like, talk about this. There's some good. There is a highlight to my wife finding seasons of Glee on Netflix.
What's her face is in it from all the comedies?
No.
But I can't remember her name.
I don't know which one you're talking
the,
about.
The blonde.
Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch. I like Jane Lynch.
She's
like,
great. No, yeah. I want to. The first 13 episodes of Glee are fantastic.
Fabulous.
I really enjoy them. The back nine of that first season are pretty good. And then it really falls apart.
and just gets worse.
It stops becoming like the characters are no longer real humans in season two. They are just like jars that fucking Ryan Murphy fills his emotions with in no way that makes sense for the story or the characters or really humanity as a whole. Brandon, you have any thoughts on the awfulness of Glee?
The bright side of this is I the Queen vocally dislike this show. So I go in the other room and turn on Daredevil.
Yeah, you do. Nice.
How far into Daredevil are you?
8 or 9 episodes.
Nice. So you're in the home stretch now.
Yeah.
Has this been when Kingpin, when we actually use his name?
No.
Okay.
We have not got to the actual Kingpin.
Spoiler. But, well, he's in it. He's just like, you hardly see him, and it's dark talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Has, is he? Did, I can't remember. Is the episode where you see his like morning routine,
yes,
and then you see him repeat it with Vanessa? Has that happened yet?
The morning routine where he, spoiler, yep, kills his father.
That's the one. You got it.
Yeah.
Usually you like put a pause after spoiler.
No, we don't. Half the time we say spoiler after we already spoiled it.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you watch Fight Club, you want to know that he's really Tyler Durden. Spoiler. That's the only thing worse, and it's only marginally worse.
Right. Oh, and by the way, Soylent Green is people.
Well, I mean, that was already made famous by Saturday Night Live with
and Bill Roseblood Hartman. And Rosebud is a sled.
That's true.
Oh, and by the way, Snape killed Dumbledore. Have I fucked everything up yet?
I already knew all these things, and I don't even watch Harry Potter movies. But I get the references because I am a member of pop culture.
Yeah, exactly. You are a part of the nerd crew.
Yeah, I saw enough of Harry Potter to kind of get it. Yeah, I saw the first two. The second one turned me off of it completely.
One of these days.
And then
days,
I saw some of another one and part of another one. So
one of these days on the podcast, I'm going to wax poetic about Harry Potter for like a half hour.
Oh,
but
no.
Today is not that day.
Thank God. I'm going to need some heavy narcotics. We're going to have to make sure the intern's
you
here.
Still got that bottle of Maker's Mark?
I don't. That's funny you mentioned that. I am like piss poor right now. Like, I am so poor until the 25th. And so that's why there hasn't been beers around here until Brandon finally brought some tonight. That's why I'm bumming cigarettes and all that. But I really wanted a beer and I couldn't afford to get a beer because I had like $5 left. And I was like, the devil part of me is like, get cheap beer. And then instead I got like pancake mix and cereal and like milk. I'm like, there, we got breakfast covered for the next 2 weeks. But I was looking at the Maker's Mark and we had a bottle of soda left. So I just started mixing up whiskeys and Cokes till it was gone. Yeah. I had 3 of them while I was watching Saturday Night Live last night.
What do you think about Louis C.K.'s monologue?
I didn't see it. I saw from, so in Montana, Saturday Night Live comes on around 10:30. I saw from 11 o'clock on.
Okay.
I missed the first half hour. I heard there was something controversial in the monologue. I'm curious what it was because I didn't click on the article.
He had a monologue that went off about mild racism.
Oh.
He has a case of mild racism.
I'm familiar with mild racism.
And oh, so no. He kind of went off about that. And that wasn't the worst part. He came off as apologetic about child molesters later on.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Goddamn right. I did not see that
sentence
coming.
It's funny, like, he really committed to those jokes in his monologue, and then he's like, you know, this is really bad, and like starts like trying to backpedal, but he's way in too deep at this point.
I mean, but he's probably comically backpedaling, right? Knowing Louis.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Louis does everything comically.
Yeah. We were watching, because we got HBO On Demand, I was sitting there going through the comedy section, and there's all these, like, HBO half-hour comedy hours. And there's some, that's what they call it, half-hour comedy hour.
It's just an amazing sentence.
I know. And there's some great ones, like Dave Chappelle. That one's free on YouTube if you ever want to watch it, and it's fucking hilarious. They have one bit that he develops later, and the rest of it you probably haven't heard anywhere else. But there was a whole bunch of funny ones. I was listening to David Cross and all this shit, and I came across Louis C.K. and we were watching Louis C.K. and I'm like, oh my god, dude! Like, if you watch it for a while, you can tell it's Louis C.K., but it really doesn't look like Louis C.K. Like, he's not fat. He's got all his hair. He's kind of blonde, like it's like a sandy blonde. He doesn't have that hangdog thing. Like, his jokes aren't all like kind of hangdog jokes, you know. Like, it wasn't bad, but it was just like, this is not the Louis C.K. I know. Like, you can tell it's before he developed his point of view, like, i.e., before he had kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah. once he had kids and he started coming up with like the mopey part of that, that's when you get like modern Louis C.K.
Yeah,
you know, that's when he broke out.
There's definitely a line of demarcation there.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you guys know he's Mexican?
No, I had no idea. Really? Yeah.
Born in Mexico. It's the craziest thing.
Born in Mexico? Really?
According to the internet.
Hey, if it's on the internet, but it must be.
Here's the thing.
True.
I do know he's Mexican because he's talked about it in interviews and shit. I just can't confirm whether or not he was born there. It's just the weirdest thing. He's the palest, red-headedest guy, white guy, yeah, I've ever seen in my life. And he's genuinely Mexican.
I would have assumed he was.
Because his last name is Shikali.
I don't know.
His last name is Shikali.
That's see, where and the I didn't CK even know that. From. Like, yeah, I just always heard the CK. So
that's where
just,
the CK comes from, is Shikali.
Wow. Just too hard we're to learning say. Is stuff. That,
I yeah. guess so. Weird, right?
Yeah.
Kind of wasn't weird. Going anywhere with that.
No, this is interesting. I mean, we're talking about Louis.
I just needed to buy time to fold up that bottle cap.
Well, you did it. Congratulations. I don't know where else to go. I've been watching Parks and Rec a lot.
Yeah.
I
love Parks and Rec.
Halfway through season 4, I think. Maybe over halfway.
Nice.
We've been watching it a lot.
Okay, I have two questions for you.
Okay.
Who is your favorite character? Two, which character do you most relate to?
When you say favorite character, are we talking secondary character or
all
like,
characters?
Or
character who entertains you most.
Well, in a way, okay, it's probably not my favorite character, but it made me laugh because I remember you talking about a bad radio show and saying Ira and the Douche, and me laughing, thinking you came up with it out the top of your head.
No.
And then realizing that, like, the Douche is a guy named Nick Kroll.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is.
I thoroughly enjoyed realizing that. But my favorite character is Nick Offerman's character, Ron Swanson.
I want all the bacon and eggs you have.
Yeah.
No, you misunderstood me.
I want all the bacon and
now,
eggs you
I know
you
you're
going
to go back and you think I mean I'm going to make a buttload of bacon and eggs, but I want you to listen to what I say again. I want all of the bacon and eggs you have. Yeah. He's by far my favorite, especially when like any episodes where one of the Tammys, one of his ex-wife Tammy comes in, something always happens. What's great about binge watching is you get all the recurring jokes that you might not normally get. And there are so many like Ron's mustache getting fucked up when his ex-wife comes jokes. Like every single time something happens to his mustache, it's great. Like the first time they did something weird with it, and then the second time he's got a big bald spot in the middle of it, and they're like, "Why'd you shave the middle of your mustache?" He goes, "I didn't shave it; it rubbed off." It's like, "Oh!" And then he completely shaves it off with Tammy one.
And here's the thing: no one can ever hate the man who gave us the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness. Because first you will be warriors, then you will be champions, and then you will become Swansons.
And I gotta say, like, this has become a comedy that like my wife and daughter have gotten into as well, because my wife is into it because she didn't. So there's this thing in comedy. I've heard David Cross and Bob Odenkirk talk about this on Mr. Show commentaries. They believe that when a new comedian comes out, people don't laugh at them at first. They have to get used to their comedy and then they laugh at them. And I do subscribe to this. There's some people I think are funny right away, but there's some that I don't like right away. And then over time, they like all of a sudden I get the joke and
yeah,
then
it clicks.
I can
at
go
some
back.
Point
yeah.
It clicks.
And I can go back and laugh at them, you know? I think Parks and Recs was that for her, because she watched the first season and she was not into it at all, and I thought it was hilarious from the start. But now, like, she goes back to watch the second season, now she totally knows who Amy Poehler is. Mm-hmm. She totally knows who Nick Offerman is, which is how I got my daughter in, because I'm like, hey baby, guess who the voice of Axe Cop is? So she, when she realized that was the case, she was really into that, because that's like a thing we have whenever she's watching a cartoon. I'm like, that's that guy. Uh-huh. And then she loves that dude. Like she loves Jack Black for being Kung Fu Panda. Like stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. And that's why they do that shit. Like, that's why they take those roles.
No, it's a good job. And I like strategy. Hearing them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, so my wife has that, like Nick Offerman, it was like in 21 Jump Street, which we thought was hilarious, and Meet the Millers, which was like, it was all right.
It does like, the job. It's a solid comedy.
Really made my wife chuckle. You put it that way. So it was a feather in Nick Offerman's cap with my wife, you know? And then like the coup de grace with everybody in the household was like, realizing Star-Lord is in like Parks and Rec, because I'd watched it a bunch of
Star-Lord.
I knew he was in it, but I hadn't really, like, Andy was not a character I really like paid attention to when I watched it before. Uh-huh. But when you're rewatching it, it's like the physical comedy on the daily basis. It's just so hilarious. Good. And that's what really won my daughter over. Was like, she was like, Star-Lord's in this. Like, he's such a fucking man child.
He is. I love it. No so other much. Word for it.
It's just, he's a complete man.
Lifestyle in that show is what I aspire to.
I wouldn't go around bragging about that.
Bragging isn't the word I would choose. More like confessing.
You know who rarely makes me laugh in that show, though?
Who's that?
Aziz, man. He almost really? Yeah. I you know what I think it is, and I like his stand-up comedy. That's the thing. Like, I like him outside of that show, but in that show, I know too many guys like that, have known too many guys like that, and it's like it grates on me because I know that guy. But like, I get it. Like, it totally works.
Does it work when he teams up with Retta? Because I find when
Retta makes me laugh.
Retta, he's 100% funnier.
Because Retta's way stupider than the guys I knew. She's so great.
Retta's the best.
Yeah. But I love all the basketball jokes they have in there.
When Detlef Shemp shows up for 720 Entertainment.
He shows up before that even. He does the telethon.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. I love him most when he's helping a fucking Aziz dunk and bench.
Roy Hibbert just swats it down. It's so ridiculous. Like, and I love that they're so crazy for the Pacers, but they pick former Trailblazer Detlef Shrimp.
Yeah, that's right.
Famously. For the Pacers and Sonics, not famous for the one season in Portland, but he'll always be a Blazer to me.
I remember him best as a Blazer. That's not true at all.
Me too. Roy Hibbert, Blazers tried to match or offered him the max. Totally fucked Indiana because they had to match. It's great. Loved watching that.
He's basically a Blazer.
Basically. He could have been with us. His big
he got
ass
paid
broken
because
down
of the Blazers.
Body. He did get paid because of the Blazers. There's no way around that one. Blazers kind of fucked themselves that season too.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, they did it. They tried to get
right.
Roy Hibbert.
We don't have a time machine to fix it.
Now we got Rolo. Sideshow Rob, dude. That's his nickname in Portland. Did you know that?
No.
Because he's got super curly hair, like Sideshow Bob. So, like the press calls him Rolo. People in Portland call him Sideshow Rob. I love that, dude. I love Portland.
I hope he starts wearing a bone in his nose.
That's the wrong Sideshow, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Sideshow Mel.
That's Sideshow Mel.
Yeah, but still.
Okay. Since we're on the Simpsons talk, what do you think of Harry Shearer getting kicked off the show?
Oh, God. Okay.
This is a real bummer.
Yeah. Okay. I'm of two minds of this. I've always known Harry Shearer was difficult. That culminated in a what the fuck interview I was listening to with him about a month ago. I don't know when it actually came out, but I got around to listening to it like a month ago. And I was listening to him and I'm like, I love the stuff that he, like a lot of the stuff he does, but he's such a dick. And you can just tell when he talks that he's a dick. Mm-hmm. But I love the characters he does. So I'm like, I get that they fired him. If there was any actor that they had to fire off of the show, honestly, that would probably be the one I was like, I'd be like, go ahead, because I know he's difficult and a dick.
Yeah.
But fuck, he's good, dude. And he does like 20 voices. He does really Smithers talented. And Mr. Burns and Flanders. But I also feel like at this point, there's probably a lot of people that can fill in. Yeah. I just worry what's going to happen with the rest of the cast. Like, is this like a... Because I know Harry Shearer is a dick. I get it. Like, it seemed like they both wanted out of the show. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They didn't want him to come back, and he didn't want to come back, it sounded right. like. But, like, I worry about, like, Dan Castellaneta and, like all these other guys. Like, does that threaten their livelihood?
I have to hope that they're locked into contracts for what they've been extended for. I mean, I just have to
hope they have the foresight. Because they've been extended for 27 and 28.
That's right. So you have to hope that they had the foresight to lock them in.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can get away with losing your Hank Azarias.
I don't want to lose Hank Azaria.
I don't want it either, but like you can survive it. As soon as
Yardley Smith's the one you can survive.
That's
one
right.
voice.
Lisa that's Simpson. Right. But as soon as you start losing your Dan Castellanetas, that's when the problems are really
well. And he improvises so much of that's his right. stuff too.
Like he's irreplaceable.
Yeah, yeah. And Harry Shearer, like that's really gonna suck. Like I do feel like I don't know. We'll see. But I do feel like that's gonna like. Hurt the quality of
maybe
the show.
Maybe there's a lot of breath that he brought to the show.
Yeah.
It's going to be lacking.
Yeah, so I feel conflicted about it.
Maybe, you know? Springfield will just have a meteor attack that kills off all his characters and only his characters, no, and that's how they deal no. with it.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I look, when Phil Hartman died, it was a logical solution.
Poor one out for Phil.
Yeah. It was a logical solution to take out Lionel Hutchins, attorney at law. It was a logical mm-hmm. solution to take out
Troy McClure.
But because it was only two characters.
You can't get rid of Burns and Smithers. Like, they're a real part of the show.
You can't take away those. So you can't take away Flanders. Skinner. Like, he's a huge
Flanders
part of the
show. Huge part of
those
the show.
It's Skinner. Yeah, you can't take out Skinner. Can't take out Chalmers either. Mm-hmm. And that's also Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer talks to himself all the time on that show.
Harry Shearer, if you're listening to this, what's your salary and can we pitch in to get you back on board?
Excellent.
Tiddly diddly, neighbor. I can do this, dude. I'd be the worst Harry Shearer, though. Get me a drink or I'll tiddly diddly fire you. I don't know. I can't.
The effort was there and that's what's important.
I really, really tried. You just couldn't see my fat hands flailing around as I did it because it's a podcast.
They couldn't hear it, but they could feel your brow get furrowed.
Yeah. How do you feel about it? I'm curious.
You know, I'm really kind of bummed about it. Like, because I know that it feels like almost a beginning of the end sort of thing that's coming up.
That was kind of how it mm-hmm. felt for me.
Agreed.
That's what I worry. Like, if they start casting off all the... I think you can survive one, but if you start casting off other cast members...
That's when it's
that's
over.
A problem. Yeah. But if you want to feel better about Harry Shearer going, download that What the Fuck with Harry Shearer and listen to it. Specifically listen to it when he starts asking him about being difficult. And I guarantee you'll get it. like I had heard that he was difficult before. Like, a lot of those Christopher Guest guys
mm-hmm.
are difficult. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Like, Michael McKean is the standout because he's not difficult
at all.
Yeah,
he's famously easy to work with.
Yeah, that's why he's done so much stuff, is like he's really easy to work with. But mm-hmm. Harry Shearer and Christopher Guest, legendary dicks in Hollywood. not like fuck you over by taking your catalog Paul McCartney kind of dick.
Yeah, but just like Michael make your Jackson, life 20% more difficult, dicks.
Yeah. Like make you kind of dread to go into work sometimes, mm-hmm. dick. Yeah.
Ooh.
That's, well, I mean.
It's, yeah. That's, I'm just thinking of some people like that and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really see a lot of cast members. I didn't see anybody on The Simpsons sticking up for him. Let me put it that way. Mm. I didn't look real hard, but usually when something like that comes out,
something
there's like
pops up.
Yeah, there's all these Twitter like reactions from all the other cast members. I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that seems like something that would definitely pop up if it happened. So it makes me think that they're all
happy to see him gone. Yeah. Of course, here's the other possibility that, like, they haven't been in a room with one another for like 18 months.
No,
like,
they do. I know how they record The Simpsons. So what they do is, like, the guest stars, they have them do it all alone because right. they're not professional voice actors most of the times. But the main cast, like, they go over a table read with them. And then right. when they go to record, they have them all standing in their own areas with, like, kind of, like, almost mattress looking things in between each other, but they're all in the same room in a circle and they can see each other when they're like talking a lot of the time too.
I'm just saying, would it shock you to find out that Harry Shearer demanded to be recorded alone?
No,
not at all. Right.
No, that wouldn't shock me. Like I said, difficult.
Difficult. Difficult is a nice way of saying we only bear you because you make us money.
I'm saying difficult because he's done so much shit that I love. Like, he's provided me with literal decades yeah. of, like, of joy.
But and there's only so much Dan. Shit we can talk.
What's that?
And he's Handsome Dan.
Well, he's fucking Derek Smalls, who was my all-time favorite Halloween costume. I mean, I fucking love Derek Smalls, but, you know.
What it is what it
he's
is,
kind
right?
of a dick.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's not Bill Cosby.
No, he Ooh. Is not Bill Cosby. That's Dr. Hibbard.
Who's the worst doctor? Dr. Hibbard or Dr. Nick?
Oh, Dr. Nick.
Dr. Nick.
Agreed. I just needed to double check.
Who would you go to get some over-the-counter drugs you can't get normally?
Oh, Dr. Nick. Hello, everybody.
Dr. Nick is the best pot dealer in Springfield.
Is he dead or not? Like, he died in the Simpsons movie, but I feel like I've seen him since.
They bring him back occasionally for something they need him for. They don't really work him in, but they... I know they killed him off in the Simpsons movie.
Yeah, because he's like, goodbye, everybody, because the thing drops on him.
The thing is, the continuity for the Simpsons at this point is so loosey-goosey that...
Well, yeah, the time thing is loosey-goosey, but that they make a joke out of that at least.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But they're usually pretty good about, like, when a character dies, they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, Bleeding Gums Murphy or died early on,
but they're not
dead.
When you've been on for 28 seasons, you're not above exceptions anymore.
No, I mean, you got to keep the show going. I get that.
And they've even brought back, I think there were one or two episodes with Dr. Marvin Monroe was showing back up, so...
I forgot about
that. That's
Marvin.
Right. Did he die?
He or died.
Did they just like write him out of the show? Yeah, he was not well because his character everything could be done with Dr. Hibbert and Dr. Nick. So yeah. he had no.
Yeah, there was a lot of
Dr. Monroe. He had no reason for that.
Yeah,
so.
That ground was well covered.
Wow, we are running long. Do we have any final thoughts here?
Let's all see Mad Max next week so we can get real weird. Who doesn't love a guitar that shoots fire?
Oh, it was so wonderful.
That sounds like it's in a Robert Rodriguez movie.
Yeah, and that's great.
All right, so take it easy.
Respect the outro.
No, never, never respect the outro. Never!
Carl, if you hear this, if you fuck with my outro, I will take all your teeth.
No! I didn't even finish the outro. What's up? Not safe for network. So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So
RDJ.
We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that, too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community mm-hmm. on the podcast so publicly as we do,
yeah.
does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
it's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over
it's
here.
Family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh, God, where am I? Oh, guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys.
You guys, I'm going to have some of this cake.
Hey,
you guys mind if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you going to wear that hat?
I'm just going to take some of this cake.
Montauk Skies.
By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can
pills.
I just say, I
washes
appreciate...
them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not Safe for Network.